We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You don't want it. You don't need it. But you're going to get it anyway. The Kevin Sheehan Show. Here's Kevin.
It's Sunday, April 21st, and draft week is finally here. Phew! Can't wait. Back after a few days off, spent a few days with family out of town. Tried to get a show done for Thursday, which I mentioned on the Wednesday show with Tommy, that I would try to get done with perhaps Cooley. That did not come about. I think we'll get him on, hopefully, tomorrow, Tuesday, or Wednesday. I doubt it'll be Thursday, but we'll see. But we certainly want to get his film breakdown of at least Drake May before Thursday night. On the show with me today, John Keim from ESPN. Lots to do before John, though. We've got a lot of catching up to do on the last few days of last week. My God, I mean, reports, thoughts, opinions flying all over the NFL draft talk world. Some of those thoughts from Jaden Daniels' agent. That was kind of interesting. Kind of dumb, too, in my opinion. More on that coming up. The show, as always, is presented by Window Nation. Now until the end of the month, mention my name and get a no-obligation free estimate. They'll tell you the windows that need to be replaced and those that don't. That's like a free opportunity courtesy. If you just call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com, mention my name, and you'll get the free, no-obligation estimate. And that'll tell you, once and for all, do I have windows that need to be replaced or not? By the way, if you haven't had a chance to rate and review the show on Apple and or Spotify, it's a good time for you to do it for us this NFL draft week. Up to 5 stars if you think we're worth it, and a quick 1 to 2 sentence review would be a major help. Following us on Apple by hitting the plus button in the top right-hand corner, and on Spotify down the left-hand side of the Spotify Kevin Sheehan Show home podcast page gives us a big boost, as does subscribing to the podcast wherever you listen to this show. The Caps will probably already be through game one or much of game one by the time you listen to this show today. They are facing the Rangers in a best of seven first round series. Look, the NHL playoffs produces more in the way of lower seeded teams beating higher seeded teams than any other postseason sport, professionally anyway. So while it is an odds long shot, an 8 seed beating a 1 seed happens pretty much every other year on average, so it's never an impossible feat. I don't have a pick for this series, but I will be watching closely to see if, you know, the experience of Alex Ovechkin and TJ Oshie and John Carlson and Tom Wilson, etc., combined with that young nucleus that they have and the hottest goaltender in the league right now, Charlie Lindgren, if it's enough to pull off a first-round surprise. Nice to have, you know, the hockey playoffs going on with the Caps involved and give us something else to talk about, although, of course, the conversation will be dominated by the draft. So let's get to it. It is draft week, Thursday night, round one, rounds 2 and 3 on Friday night, rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. Washington heads into the 2024 draft with 9 total picks, 6, as you know, in the top 100 of the draft. They have, of course, number 2 overall. They have 2 second-round picks, number 36, which is their own, number 40, which came from Chicago in the trade for Montez Sweat. They have 3 picks in the third round, 67 overall is their own. Then they've got number 78, Seattle's, which came in the Sam Howell trade. And they've got number 100, San Francisco's, which came in the trade for Chase Young. They've got 2 fifth-rounders and a 7th-round pick as well. Do they end up using that draft capital, that high quality draft capital in the first 3 rounds to move up into the first round to get a pass rusher or a left tackle? It makes some sense, you know, if there's a willing trade partner, if they have a player that they really want that they don't think they would get if they wait until the end of the second round, or I'm sorry, the early portion of the second round. That would be an obvious reason to trade up, right? They've got a player that they love that, you know, let's just say it's a left tackle because there are a lot of left tackles, but there may be a difference on their board between a guy that's sitting there at 25 or 26 and they don't think he'll be there at 36. They've got a lot of draft capital. If they find a willing trade partner, that seems like a very possible move. This year, there's a not-so-obvious reason for making a move up in this draft. When you have 6 picks in the first 3 rounds, let's just say you get it right. And the expectation for all these teams is that they're going to get most of it right, even though they usually don't. But if you get it right on a majority of them, that's a lot of second contracts all hitting at the same time in 4 years. You know, imagine 4 of the 6 players that they take in the top 100, if they take 6, you know, hit in a big way. It's great for the team, but would you be able to keep all of them beyond their rookie deals? I think the amount of quality draft capital they have will lend to a much better chance of trading up in this draft than back in this draft. It doesn't mean it'll happen, but they have to get, in addition to a quarterback, they have to get a left tackle out of this draft. They could obviously add at least another 1 or 2 offensive linemen to a left tackle. 3 O-linemen in total is not out of the realm of possibility. They need a pass rusher. That would seem to be a high priority. A wide receiver should be on the list, in my opinion. A corner wouldn't surprise me if defensive tackle, you know, certainly from a depth standpoint. Tight end, these are possibilities too. This is one of the most important drafts in team history. You know, new regime, fresh chance being given to fans to either continue to support or for the people who used to call themselves fans to jump back in now that Dan is gone. So many needs and an absolute perfect storm of cap space and draft capital to address those needs. This offseason and the draft in particular, truly going into it, one of the most important in team history. I mean, it's going to create a level of excitement that is going to move the needle for them in terms of sponsors and season ticket, you know, requests, etc. But more importantly, hopefully will set them on a winning course. The biggest need, and what will determine a winning course more than anything else, of course, is quarterback. You know, they haven't had one since you-know-who left. That would be Kirk Cousins, for those of you that don't know the Galdi you-know-who description of Kirk Cousins. The wishing and hoping of the last few years, which, you know, unfortunately led to a lot of mouthy lecturing as well, about guys like Sam Howell and Carson Wentz and Taylor Heineke. Those wishes and prayers, no matter how hard the team and some of you wanted them to come true, were never close to coming true, really. They have a huge quarterback need, and they're going to take a quarterback at number 2. The quote from Adam Peters the other day on whether or not he would be looking to trade back, you know, during their Thursday press conference. Quote, "We feel great about staying at number two. I don't see a whole lot of scenarios where we trade down, to be honest with you. We feel great about sticking there." Closed quote. Yes, of course, it's lying season. It's posturing season. But I believe him. Sure, there's always a chance, as I've mentioned previously, that, you know, a Minnesota throws their two first-rounders and then a 2025 and a 2026 first-rounder and Justin Jefferson, you know, into the mix. And maybe that's why they had Penix Jr. in on the last two top 30 visit days, just to see, what if we get some unbelievable offer? Would we consider taking Penix Jr.? But my money, not literally, but my prediction is that they stay at two and take a quarterback. That has been the prediction from the day the season ended. And despite all of the stuff from late last week, you know, the reaction from Jaden Daniels' agent to the way that the Commanders handled the last 2 days of top 30 visits with 20 players in all together, socializing at Top Golf and then dinner. And then there was a square dance later on that night. No, there wasn't. But his agent, Ron Butler, liked two tweets that criticized the Washington process early last week. The liking of the tweets came later in the week, but criticizing the process of those last 2 days of top 30 visits, to which Jaden Daniels' PR firm put out its own tweet, essentially telling the agent to shut the hell up. You know, it came from Denise White. She's with EAG Sports Management. In her bio, it says public relations marketing crisis management. I don't know that this was a crisis, but she tweeted out, "Jaden Daniels is excited to be a part of the NFL, and wherever he is drafted, he will be happy to be a part of that organization." She and her firm appear to represent Daniels from a PR standpoint. But man, you know, the agent stuff, which, by the way, just as an aside, whether Ron Butler, the agent for Jaden Daniels, intended to create the stir that he created or not, if he were my agent, I'd really wonder seriously as to why he wasn't smart enough to know that liking tweets that appeared to knock the team's process might be a bad idea. You know, look, it may be that Jaden Daniels was okay with it and he was speaking on Jaden Daniels' behalf. Maybe that's true. But still, that is not the way to handle it, you know, on social media, where dumb meets dumber, you know, minute by minute. Deal with the team directly if your client didn't like the process, if your client really doesn't want to play in Washington. Explain why. Ask questions. Be mature. And do it directly, you know, with Adam Peters, if you feel like it's in your client's best interest. Doing it on social media would put me, if I were the client, on high alert. You know, it would be handled simply by saying, if you would like to represent me, a highly drafted quarterback that could make millions and millions of dollars over many, many contracts over the next 10 to 15 years, don't ever do that again. But, you know, the agent stuff was out there, the PR follow-up out there. There was more. Adam Schefter, again, weighing in. He said, you know, at one point in the middle to late last week that, you know, the process didn't go over well with, you know, the agent. Didn't go over well maybe with Daniels, who believed he would meet with Washington by himself. He also told Pat McAfee, Adam Schefter did, that, you know, Daniels had come to the realization that he's got no choice in the draft and is prepared to go wherever he's drafted. And once again, Adam Schefter, you know, said that most people still believe it continues to be number two to Washington. Jeremy Fowler said this about Daniels this morning, quote, "There's a little bit of smoke there. So people I talk to with the Commanders and other teams, they do believe Daniels is the favorite to be the pick at number two. Nothing is set in stone, of course. It is the draft, but I'm talking to somebody close with Daniels who believes that he has at least openly wondered about his options. Fowler also said that while he doesn't know what's going on in the mind of Jaden Daniels, and what he's hearing is that he's not embracing Washington that warmly. He said, I can't confirm that he doesn't want to play for Washington, but it hasn't been an easy, smooth process for whatever reason so far. Closed quote. That was from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. We'll ask John what he thinks about all of this. But, you know, so much out there and, you know, a lot of it for us dominated by Jaden Daniels' discussion. You know, by the way, if Daniels really does have a preference, like, you know, the Raiders with Antonio Pierce, who coached him at Arizona State, like, would that be that unusual? He's 24. He's been in just a few places, none of them on the East Coast, none of them cold weather climates. I mean, come on. It's okay that he's got a preference, if it's true that he does. But that's not the way this profession works. You know, one of the quid pro quos for making millions and millions of dollars in a business that thrives in part because of competitive balance, that's why you have a draft, you go where you're drafted. And then in 4 or 5 years, maybe sooner, you can pick where you work and live, but not at the start. And at 24, you don't think there's a chance that, you know, he's just young and inexperienced and underexposed, and 2 years from now he'll say, oh my God, I love D.C. I should have never sweated it, if he is sweating it. He's young. He probably feels like he's got some leverage. But I'll be honest with you, I don't even know what to believe on all of this anymore. I do have a strong opinion as to what they'll do, and I will once again share that with you here in a moment. But I will say this, I promise you, if he is the top quarterback on Washington's board, and I think he might be, I don't think that they'll think that much about last week's shenanigans. I don't. I think if Jaden came out and said it directly, you got some concerns if that happened. That's not what happened. You know, and you'd spend some time with him and you'd see if they could answer the concerns that he has. But I think last week was more of just the incredible interest and frenzy around this draft compared to recent drafts because of the number of quarterbacks that are going to go high in this draft. There's been some Drake May talk out there too. Daniel Jeremiah, Rick Spielman, among others, like May to Washington at number two. So not all of the talk is Daniels, but I think the majority of it is Daniels for us because, A, we have the second pick, and B, you know, he's believed to be the second best quarterback in this draft by the majority of credible people that evaluate it or report on it. And let me, you know, on this Sunday, April 21st, 5 days before the draft, continue with my position on this. I prefer Jaden Daniels to the other two that have been in this conversation for number two overall, Drake May and J.J. McCarthy. And I do believe that they will take Jaden Daniels on Thursday night at number two. Like, I'd put it at, my belief is 75% chance Daniels, 15% May, 8% McCarthy, and then what does that leave me with? 2% a trade back, you know, for a Penix Jr. at 11 with Minnesota or something like that. But I think there's a 75% chance that Daniels is the pick Thursday night at 2. I really do. And that's where I am. And I would be, yes, totally benefit of the doubt, Kevin, if they took May, and even be excited to a certain degree if it were Penix Jr. But I am a Daniels guy. All of you know that. I have been since the jump. As far as McCarthy goes, I'll continue to say what I've said all along. And I've watched more of McCarthy in recent weeks on tape. I just don't see McCarthy in Daniels' class. I certainly don't see his upside or his ceiling being as high as Jaden Daniels. Now, if Washington had the 20th pick in the first round, And had a need for quarterback, and they picked McCarthy there long after Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels were already selected. I'd be okay with it in that scenario. It's not that I don't think McCarthy, can't play. I think he can play. I think he can be a quarterback in the NFL. I just don't think he's worthy of going before Jaden Daniels, and certainly not worthy of going number two overall. Personal opinion. It's one of those times, by the way, in doing what I do and you guys listening and having your own thoughts. These are the things we remember. Trust me, it's not lost on me that when we have conversations about what we all thought about years ago about various players, the memories tend to be a little bit loose and not always 100% accurate. But, man, the memories typically are centered on quarterback conversations. And they will be on this conversation that we've been having since the end of the season and with what happens on Thursday night. I think it's going to be Daniels, despite the chatter, despite, you know, the smoke of the last few days. I think Washington has Jaden Daniels at the top of their board, assuming Caleb Williams goes number one overall. I do, and I think that will be the pick. But again, if it ends up being May, you know, I'm going to be benefit of the doubt. And I'm going to be on board because I want them to finally get some shit right and get it going in the right direction. All right, John Keim, after a few words from our sponsors. Hey, guys, if you're looking for a fun way to play daily fantasy sports, Prize Picks is the place to go to. I downloaded the Prize Picks app recently. It's exciting. It's easy. It's different when it comes to DFS. It's just you against the numbers. It's not you battling thousands of other players. It's picking more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections with odds. Like the other night, I had Caitlin Clark less than 33 points and less than 6 3-pointers. It paid 3-1. The NBA playoffs are coming up. The NHL playoffs are coming up. Prize Picks offers so many different opportunities on a nightly basis. Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use my code Sheehan for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app. Download it today. Use my code Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N, for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more. Pick less. It's that easy. Hey guys, I want to tell you about Harry's. Many of you have probably heard of Harry's razors and shaving products, maybe even from this podcast. They've been an occasional advertiser over the years. I'm a customer. I have been for a while now. I think it goes back to the first shipment of product that they sent me before the first time they advertised on the pod, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. They found a way, Harry's did, to make a beautifully designed razor for a fraction of the price of other big brands. I've been using their Truman handle. It's a 2-tone handle with a great grip. It provides a close shave no matter if you've got a beard and you're shaving around it, or if you cleanly shave on a daily basis. Their German-engineered blades stay sharp for a long period of time. They've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills for as low as $2. That's half of what you pay other big brands. Right now, you can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/Sheehan. Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, and this is a no-risk trial. If you don't like your shave, no worries. It's on them. Convenient subscription options exist that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/Sheehan. That's harrys.com/SHEEHAN for a $3 trial set.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This segment of the show brought to you by MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag. Use my promo code KevinDC and MyBookie will give you a cash bonus on your initial sign up. MyBookie will have everything you need for the upcoming NFL draft. I was actually checking out some of their NFL futures for next year. They've got their division odds up. The NFC East favorite at MyBookie, Dallas at plus 125, followed by Philly at plus 135. So they're almost co-favorites to win the NFC East. And then Washington, a clear-cut odds pick to finish third at plus 750, followed by the Giants at plus 1,000. We'll see whether or not, based on who they pick in the draft, if the odds change or not. But for all of your draft betting needs, for all of your NHL and NBA playoff betting needs, mybookie.ag, use my promo code exactly the way I'm describing it right now, KevinDC. All right, jumping on with me right now is my good friend John Keim from ESPN at John_Keim on X on Twitter. John's been covering the team longer than anybody in town has. And you tweeted something out the other day. I was actually away out of town for a couple of days, but I retweeted it. It was Jim Carrey with his hands in his ears going la 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 la. And you wrote way too much noise, buy earplugs, folks. Less than a week. We're now definitely less than a week as it's Sunday of draft week. It can't get here fast enough for me, and it sounds like you're in the same boat.
Oh, my God. I think we're limping to the finish line, physically, more so mentally than physically. It's been 3.5 months or whatever it is of basically discussing two or three players.
I know.
And
for the most part, that's right. Is that our fault?
All sides. Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Let me say this. So, yes, people, like, I'm sure you'll see this too. Like, I would have people say, like, I'm tired of the quarterback talk. I want to talk about this and that. So I'd have people on to talk about stuff other than the quarterback. And guess what? Guess what gets the most downloads and listen?
Yeah.
And so obviously I like talking about the other stuff, but, you know, don't tell me you want the other stuff and then, you know, and the numbers show that everybody wants quarterback. So here we are. And I do think, I will say there's two things. One, next year, this is going to feel like, you know, I mean, next year we'll be talking about which right tackle should they take at 21 or whatever it is.
Ooh, you got him picking at 21.
Well, okay.
Wow, that would make him a playoff team.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Let me go back. So maybe 15 to 21, whatever the range is.
Right.
Like, we might be talking about right tackles or, you know, something like that. And so, like, this is at least, and it's better than talking about, you know, who's going to buy the team or what's going to happen in these investigations.
You know what? I was just going to say the same thing. I don't want anybody that's listening to think that I'm complaining, and I don't think John is either.
This is phenomenal
and has been for anybody that produces any kind of content on the team and is so much better than what we've had in recent years.
Correct.
But I think you nailed it, and that is it's really been, you know, 3-4 months of essentially talking talking about three or four players. And and I'll back you up on, once you, you know, move away from the draft in general, you're losing listeners or readers. And once you move away specifically in the draft from the quarterback conversation, you're not, you know, you're not attracting the largest audience you can. But look, it's a great opportunity too for the team, and it really is a significant pick for this organization.
It's a lot more fun to go and watch. Listen, you like watching this stuff. I like watching stuff. It's a lot more fun to watch a quarterback and try and pick like, who's the best guy, or not even so much who's the best guy, but like, what do you like and what do you see in each guy?
Yeah.
Because there's good and bad in each of these guys, and I think some people sometimes forget that that's the case, but it is, and I think I enjoy that process.
All right, I want to get to, you know, what you're hearing, what you think, but before that, the open to the show, I talked about just all of the reporting, the opinions, the thoughts, including thoughts from Jaden Daniels' agent, that just really mucked it up at the end of last week, middle to end of last week. And I say muck it up with a lot of love, but man, what you hear and what I hear from a lot of the fans is, you know, I would never take him now because he doesn't want to play here. I want to hear what you think about all of, especially the Jaden Daniels stuff mid to late last week.
So, and I think that's when I made that tweet about the noise and all that.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of this is just that. It's noise. And I think there's at times an extrapolation of knowledge, or trying to extrapolate knowledge or meaning from some whatever it is. And it quickly went from agent tweets emoji to Jaden Daniels doesn't want to play here. And treating that in some cases as fact when it's not. And so I think like that's the part that gets very difficult. And and fans just took it like that too, or some did, not everybody did. And, you know, but then there are others that, you know, who have a large voice who may be treated as some level of fact because, quote, they just know, right? And so I think that's the part where this happened during the coach search too. You know, Ben Johnson was a lock,
right?
Because, yeah. You know, and so, and then when you know more about the process, you realize it wasn't like that. And so I think in this case, it was unusual to bring all four quarterbacks in at one time. I don't know if it's good or bad because we'll find out when the process is over. I do believe that they probably knew who their guy was before they came here, but it was a final step. So you're not sure, right? So I don't, you know, so that's one thing. Two, I've said this on my podcast too. I've only heard good things about Jaden Daniels. So just strip away everything else. Jaden Daniels, I've heard good things about. You know, whether it's the way he works, you know, and you ask other teams, do they have red flags, any red flags with him? And the answer is no. Now, I don't talk to every team, so I don't know what everybody thinks of him. I do know that during this process, a lot of coaches really liked him throughout the league, and that would be the guy that they probably would pick. So there's a couple things there. And then I've yet to have anybody tell me that he doesn't want to play here. You know, so now what he truly thinks, I don't know because I haven't talked to him. But I don't, you know, I have not gotten the sense he doesn't want to play. I've also haven't got, like, I know from these guys, like, this group ignores the noise. And I think that starts with Adam Peters. I think they ignore the noise. So I don't think they're going to get caught up in, like, oh my God, the agent had an emoji tweet. Oh my God. You know, I just don't think that. You know, I think they go by that credo. It might be interesting. It's not important. And I'm sure they found it interesting.
Thank you, Ron.
So, but it's true. But I think it's more like, okay, is this something I have to be worried about? And the answer is no. And they move on. So, and I would say this too. It hasn't affected, based on people that I talked to, it hasn't affected their draft board or their thoughts of him. So if they want him, they're going to take him. And they're not going to let an emoji tweet and then speculation by some others deter them from doing that. And because, again, we, you know, I have not heard that he doesn't want to play here. And I had talked to somebody and mentioned this in the podcast too, that who knows him well, like they thought two of the better places for him would have been Washington and Minnesota from a football standpoint, because the coaching that felt like they would get with the guys on the staff. And I understand that too. I think that's, you know, now, you know, we also know that the Raiders would really, really would like him because of Antonio Pierce had the connections with him. And if Jaden wanted to play for Antonio because he knows him and knew him well, like, all right, that's understandable. It doesn't mean he doesn't want to play here. And here's the other thing. The Raiders have no shot to move up to number two to get him.
That's
right. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think I agree with everything you said. Well, I know I agree with everything you said. I would add this to the mix, and that is, even if there is some truth to Jaden Daniels as a 24-year-old young person being hesitant to move to Washington to play for Washington because he's never lived on the East Coast. He's a California kid, lived in Arizona, lived in Baton Rouge for a couple of years in terms of school. That would be natural for a lot of young people to be hesitant, to have preferences. But that's not the way his profession works. Like you said, Washington is going to select him if that's who they want. And in 2 years, if things are going well, he might say, I can't believe I was ever hesitant about moving to this place. What a great franchise, what great people, et cetera. I love the city, the whole thing. People feel that way a lot of times when they move to a place for the first time.
Yeah, and I would say that, and that's like, again, I don't know what he thinks, and I have not talked to him, but I haven't heard from anybody in you know, that has said, like, no, he doesn't want to play there, or well, his preference would be to go somewhere else. Like, I haven't heard that either.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, again, the Raiders thing is a connection. That's a personal connection that you have with a coach whom he really likes. Okay, if you were coming out in a job interview and you knew someone like, God, this guy that I love,
right,
works over here, you know, and like, but either they can't offer me enough as the same as the guy over here, and this is their opportunity, whatever. Like, okay, so you go somewhere else and you can be happy. You can be happy. You can like Antonio Pierce and be happy in Washington.
Yeah.
And,
no,
you know, I just think a lot of it had been overblown.
Yeah.
And I think you know, again, this has shades of the Ben Johnson situation where just like certain narratives start to form that aren't necessarily reflective of reality. And I just, like I said, we don't know what he really thinks, but I have yet to hear that he didn't want to play here. They have the power in this situation.
All right, so let's move on from all of, as you described it, the noise last week.
You want to talk about tackles?
Yeah, I want to talk about actually specifically the corners, because we haven't spent enough time on them. So what are you hearing? Right now, what is your best guess as to what they do Thursday night on the clock at number two?
Best guess would still be Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm sorry to all the people who want Drake May. It's not my decision, you know, but I do. But I think that would be the call. That would be my best educated guess. Now, the percentage I put on that, it's hard to say because I don't know. But that would be the best guess at this point.
Who do you want? Who do you think they should pick?
I mean, I don't have any problem with Jaden Daniels at all, and I would say that. And it's funny because someone else asked me, they're like, I don't want them to do anything because it's not my job to, you know what I mean? Like, it just, I'm going to cover it the same way. And,
all right, let me ask you this way. You've watched a lot of tape.
Better quarterbacks,
yeah. Who's the second best quarterback in this draft?
Caleb Williams. No, I'm just kidding. I think Jaden is. So that's like, so for me, based on what I've seen, and I'm going to preface this too, because I also get people telling me, well, on my draft board, he's a fifth quarterback. It's like, give me your draft board. Like, how many guys have you watched? You know what I mean? Like, you know, settle down there. Yeah. And I don't have a draft board. I watch these guys, and I like to see what could appeal to them. What would be the concerns? There are definitely some concerns with Jaden Daniels. There will be concerns with J.J. McCarthy, and there are concerns with Drake May. And there are things I like about each of those latter two guys. But I think with Daniels, to me, a separator, there's a couple of things. One, every defensive coach that I've ever covered hates facing guys like him, period. I mean, they create chaos for a defense, and Dan Quinn knows that very well. And so I think that's one thing. And, you know, when I talk to – the other thing is, like, when I talk to coaches I really respect, he was the guy that they would talk about more, you know, for the most part. So, you know, that also has, you know, plays into why I think he'd be a good pick for them. You know, now, like, clearly he's got to learn how to protect himself. And that's not a light discussion, no pun intended. But it's not, you know, it shouldn't be one that's, you know, that it is an important one, because it's not as much as just teaching the slide. It's about evolving the mindset. And, you know, you need this guy to stay healthy, and so sometimes you got to throw it away. Sometimes you got to, you know, do that. So, like, if he can do that and develop there, then I think he can be really good. Because the thing that swayed me, too, Kevin, was I just felt like as a passer, he did a good job. And Dan Quinn told me this at the owners' meetings. Like, he liked how quickly he went through the progression.
Yeah, you had that in that story.
Matters.
That was good.
Yeah, that stuff matters. And, you know, like, you say, okay, but he doesn't throw over the middle a lot. Where are the anticipation throws? And then I was able to find examples of some of those, right? So there's going to be adjustments. We all know it. But I think there'd be true for anybody. And the other thing is, too, what is your plan for whenever this guy gets here? And I think whoever you get, you better have a really good plan, because that's a big key in any quarterback's development, no matter where you go. So, but yeah, no, I think he's, you know, but it, like I said, if they took J.J. McCarthy, I can say, okay, I can see the appeal here and here. Like, maybe I thought this other guy, but the other thing is, like, what I don't ever want from people is to think that, well, just because you said it would be James, so therefore you're biased against this other guy. Well, no, ultimately, Kevin, what I'd like to see here is a guy that's actually decent for a while. So if I say it should be Jaden and they draft J.J. McCarthy and he's good, like, okay, you got one right. That's great for this place, right? It's great for the fan base. Ultimately, what I would want is somebody that's worth watching, not just early on because they're excitable, but because they grow and develop as a quarterback and become a really good quarterback. I am tired of watching subpar quarterback play, as everybody around here is.
If I were to tell you that Jaden Daniels wasn't the pick, but they picked a quarterback at number two, based on the last minute, you mentioning J.J. McCarthy more than Drake May, is it fair to say that John Keim would predict or would guess the best chances would be J.J. McCarthy at two over Drake May?
Probably. I don't – and that's a – if I – yeah, probably – probably.
Okay.
Yeah. How's that?
Perfect.
Like, the hard part is, unless you hear it from a high thing, like, it's really hard to know. So, like, you can start to, you know, you start to overthink some things and you start to piece some things together. And it's like, this, if the order was that, it would not surprise me at all.
So just one more on the quarterback, and then I'll ask you about whether or not you think they'll trade back into the first round to take a tackle or a pass rusher. But at the beginning of this, you said that you thought that they probably had their mind made up, but they were, you know, essentially crossing T's, dotting I's with the top 30 visits, with the four quarterbacks in, et cetera. Do you think, you know, at this point here, just 5 days before the draft, do you think there's a consensus? Do you think they're all in on the guy that they want to select? You think it's Daniels. I think it's Daniels, too. Do you think that they're all in, or that this is, you know, primarily Adam Peters? Or do you have any sense of who likes him the most, who isn't sure, et cetera?
At this point, it's hard for me to say all of that because I don't – well, here's what I would say that I feel is probably what's going on. And, again, with the top 30, it would be only natural if you had a lean at that point, right? I don't know how you go get through 3.5 months of evaluation
right.
and not have, like, somebody that you're like, okay, you know, I keep coming back to player X, right? Get through this, I keep coming back to this. But what I think what Peters has always said is you don't fall in love with the guy because you don't want to miss something in that evaluation, whether it's positive or negative. And then, you know, which could have either led you off the guy or someone else or whatever. So but it would only be natural if you had that. And so I think what also knowing how Peters works, I can also see, okay, meet on whatever. I think he said they're going to meet Friday. Go over everything. Here's where I'm thinking right now. Meet on Friday. Come back Monday or Sunday or whatever it is. Meet again to see, like, we still there? Yes. Okay. Boom. Like, so I think that's where I there's no rush to say, all right, for sure, but keep meeting. Just make sure that you're – and I think he's a guy that gets he likes to solicit a lot of information and opinions. Some people, that can trip them up. You know, I think, because you might get too much information and it's like goes all over the place, but you just want to hear different opinions. And we'll see ultimately what happens. And, you know, it sounds like, and I think Lance Newmark is very good in this situation too, but it sounds like it doesn't sound like he's the guy that would get tripped up by too much information, but, you know, I think the proof will be how does it turn out? I mean, not even just with the quarterback pick, but with the rest of the draft, because you're getting opinions on a lot of things. So that's where I think I got. You know, I know he said the other day that there would probably be sometime early this week. But I think what you do is you just let's meet, talk about this. I was still in the same spot. Meet the next day, see where you're at. That's, you know, and see if there's any equivocation or, you know, somebody's close on a guy. You know what I mean? So I think that's the process that takes place.
You know, I have one more on the quarterback, actually, because I'm remembering something that you wrote, and I'm trying to find it, so I'm going to end up paraphrasing here. But I actually read from it a couple of weeks ago on the show, and that was some of the stuff that you had from Dan Quinn that was very good, sure. including what he said about, you know, Jaden Daniels processing, et cetera. Yeah. But there was a bit of an implication when I read it that Quinn is influential, very influential in this decision. You mentioned specifically that it was Adam Peters, you know,
right.
final call, but that there, and I'm forgetting what it was specifically that I read from Quinn or what you wrote about Quinn's involvement in the decision. But did I read that correctly? Because you and I never talked about this. I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. That Quinn's involvement in making this decision is significant. Yes or no?
I think so, yeah, because, first of all, he's the head coach, so I don't know how you don't involve him in this.
Right.
In a big time, not just involve, but have a pretty big role or say, and because if you're a good GM, typically you're going to give the coach the quarterback he wants. If there's a guy that he just doesn't want and he says, sorry, we're taking this guy, that's when it becomes harder. And we've seen that here before, right? We saw that for, 24 years, maybe, just a guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we've seen that. When you get the guy, the coach, a guy that maybe he's not as thrilled with, and not in every situation did that happen, but certainly in some cases it did. And I don't think Adam Peters would do that. So I think they'll work hard to get to the same point. It doesn't mean like, come on, Dan, come on, say uncle. I don't think it's going to be like that, or that, you know, vice versa. I think Dan Quinn might win a wrestling. Well, actually, Adam was a DN too, so who knows? But I don't think it's going to be some big wrestling match, verbal wrestling match that has to take place, because I think over time, you know, and here's the other thing that Adam is really good at. What do the coaches want, and who's the guy that I feel best fits that? That's what he was known for in San Francisco too. Like, finding the guys that fit the profile of what the coaches want. So that's where I think, like, Dan Quinn would absolutely have a say. And I think Then you look at Cliff Kingsbury's offense, but, you know, we don't know how long Kingsbury will even be here to run that offense. So you've got to take the guy who's not just a fit, and make sure he fits, but can be good long-term in a couple different offenses. So, but yeah, I think Quinn would have a fairly nobody's told me for sure what his say is, but I'd be surprised if he doesn't have some level of a big say. Now, Adam has the final say.
Right. So, yeah, I found what you wrote. You wrote, while Peters will make the final call on the selection, this year will mark the first time Quinn has been charged with helping find a quarterback. And then you wrote, Quinn also has relied on Peters and Cliff Kingsbury for their insight throughout the draft process. And I think that just indicated to me, look, from the jump when both of them were hired in their introductory press conferences, they just talked ad nauseum about this aligned vision, that it'll be very collaborative, that they have a shared vision on what they called player traits. You know, so I'm assuming... And Quinn, look, is the experienced one of this group. Not that he's picked a quarterback because Matt Ryan was there, obviously, and he was the D coordinator in Dallas, and in Seattle he was the D coordinator. But, you know, one of the reasons that I think you and I both knew from the jump that Quinn was a major contender and at the top of their list, or certainly near the top, was they had a first-time, you know, owner, and they had a first-time GM, and Dan Quinn isn't first-time at anything. And so,
his experience matters. And now the other thing is, you know, it's also like Dan Quinn is not an expert on quarterbacks. He's an expert at defending them.
Right.
So, and he knows, and that's part of it too, is like, because some of what I asked him was like, okay, I'm curious to know what is it that you look for when you're trying to defend a quarterback? What do you try to do? And how does that shape how you then look for a quarterback in the draft? Because this is, again, this, like you said, it's the first time. So part of that was he loves to, and he's talked about this, disguise things and throw quarterbacks off with some post-snap changes. So you flip it, and it's like, so what he wants to see is a quarterback who can process quickly after the snap if it changes. And that's one of the benefits of Daniels and seeing him or playing in the SEC was you saw a little bit more of that than you certainly were going to in the ACC and in the Big Ten. There are a couple Big Ten defenses that might do that, but, you know, like Schiano at Rutgers probably does more of that than anybody. So I think, like, that gives you a little bit of a look, but in the SEC you're going to see it for, you know, a few times. And so I think that, whether or not the others can or can't do it, that I'm not saying that, but it's just, I think part of the evaluation process for him was the post snap? How do they process post snap if things change? And that's something that's key. I saw things with McCarthy that were pretty good in that area at times. And you know, I didn't see in ACC again when I'd watch May. I didn't see a lot of that as much as far as like defense just changing after the snap. But I think he does, you know, May does some really good things from the pocket when things break down too. So, and that's part of that, right? So, that was a big thing for him.
All right, we will take a quick break and then we'll finish up talking non-quarterback draft stuff with John Keim right after these words from a few of our sponsors. Hey guys, most of us are interested in our mental and physical well-being to a certain degree, and with that in mind, I'd like to welcome and introduce a new sponsor to the podcast. The new sponsor is Unified Healing, Unified spelled UNIFYD Healing. It doesn't matter if you're a big-time world-class athlete or just a somewhat athletic podcaster like me. We all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring the podcast now. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the DMV or anywhere else across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Well, go to unifiedhealing.com/Sheehan to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, spelled UNIFYD, healing.com/Sheehan. No material or testimonies on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare providers with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We continue with John Keim in a moment, but this segment is brought to you by Window Nation. Call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com. Mention my name, and you will get a free, no-obligation estimate. One of the benefits of at least getting an estimate is to find out, how many windows do I really need? Window Nation will send somebody out, and they'll tell you, these windows need to be replaced, these windows don't, and then you're only paying half price on the windows they sell you. It's a buy two, get two free through the end of this month with no payments and no interest for two full years. Call them at 866-90-NATION. Head to windownation.com. You'll be working with one of the best window companies in America. I can vouch for the people you'll be with, the product that you'll be purchasing, and you can shop the offer all you want, but typically Window Nation's offers are right there with anybody else's. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. All right. You wrote yesterday, John, had a really good story up. Commanders can change franchise trajectory in 2024 NFL draft. We all understand they have 9 picks. They've got 6 in the top 100. And your 3 bullet points are find a franchise quarterback with the 2nd overall pick. We've already talked about that. And bullet point number 2 is select a left tackle who could be in place for a decade. Do you think they get this left tackle late in the first round by using some of their excess draft capital to trade back into the first round, or do they get it at 36 or 40?
Yes. Because you can see both. Like,
yeah, sure.
I think some of it's going to depend. Like, I think there's some tackles in this draft in that range who could go late first or even early third. How does a team see them? And, you know, I think there's this one thing that you, of course, is, I think we all know, you and I know, like, not every team sees things the same way. And so it's not like if Team A's board has a player in the 3rd round that Team B's board is going to have in the same place. Because how do they fit and what do you see? What traits can you develop? So there are some guys that they had in for visits who, like, and the name I've been throwing just because I think he's an example of this is this Roger Rosengarten. So I've seen some things where it's like, okay, some people might view him as more of a right tackle and going in the 4th round, and other people think he can play left tackle. He has good feet, and maybe he goes higher, late 1st, early 2nd. So like, that's a wide range for one guy. So how much do you like a guy like that? And if you feel like you can get him at 36, then maybe you stay, because that allows you then to attack other positions. But you have to get a left tackle. And if you feel like, you know, if there's a, there's obviously going to be a few tackles taken in that first round. Once you get past the high-end tackles, if you start to see some guys either fall or start to go, that will probably dictate how you then react with those picks. So, you know, but I do think, you know, if ideally you'd like to hang on to those picks because there are some things that you can address there that can really help you. But you need to get a left tackle, and so that has to be the priority. So if it means moving up into late first, then, yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Roger Rosengarten was a tackle for the defending the runner-up championship team,
right.
The Washington Huskies, blocking for Michael Penix Jr. By the way, I didn't ask you this, getting back to the quarterbacks. Why do you think Penix Jr. was in on that final day or two with the other three? Did that strike you as unusual, or was it just scheduling?
A little bit. And, you know, it's funny, because even with the scheduling, initially you kept hearing that they're going to have a couple guys on this day, a couple guys on the other day, but they were all going to be there for that nighttime thing. And then, and you know, so I don't know if there was confusion or just whatever it was, but that clearly wasn't the case. And then with Penix, yeah, a little bit surprised, but what, you know, I know Adam Peters said, you know, he doesn't see a scenario where they trade out of two. However, what if some crazy offer comes in this week and now those other three quarterbacks are gone? You better know if you like Penix. So to me, that's a, you need to bring him in to see, because you don't know.
Yeah.
So I think on the chance that happens, because obviously at two, that'd be way too high. Like the health, the medical concerns would push him out of that number two spot. But yeah, I think if you trade back, and again, not expecting that at all, based on what Adam Peters said, and I don't think other teams in the league are expecting it, but if Minnesota came and said, we'll give you Justin Jefferson plus these picks, well, right. What are you going to do? You're going to listen. But that's not going to happen. But I think that's why you bring a Penix in, is the, hey, you never know. And if they do like the kid, which they clearly would if they're bringing him in, then, you know, why not bring him in and just see how he is too? Just, I always go back to this, man, and you know this, like Josh Harris wants every piece of information imaginable. So if somebody comes to them and if Josh finds out, like, well, so-and-so team offered us what? Well, what would we do there? Well, Penix, well, what do you think? Well, we didn't really bring him in, because, like, why didn't you bring him in? Should have known. You know what I mean? I think you just want to prepare for every scenario. I think he's part of that.
All right. We have addressed left tackle already, and you've also spoken to the possibility of using their draft capital to move up to get a left tackle. Let's talk about a couple of other positions to finish up. You know, need positions. I'm just going to ask you whether or not you think that these positions are addressed in the top 100 with their six picks, if they end up using all six, and maybe ask you to give me a name or two that you think may be a possibility. Let's start with pass rusher. Likelihood that a pass rusher is taken in the top 100, and even a name if you've got one.
Yeah, I think they do get one, and it's funny because, like, Chop Robinson was here. Marshawn Nealand was here. I think that would be a name to watch. I just don't like Robinson. He could go in the middle of the first round or early second. I don't know, but he'd be one to watch. And I think Marshawn Nealand would be one to watch from Western Michigan.
What about wide receiver?
I haven't heard a lot of buzz on that, but it doesn't mean that there isn't there. Like, I'm sure. I think you kind of have to take one. I just don't know where you're going to take one. It's a good draft for receivers. I think more than receiver, I'm looking at tight end.
Right. Okay, so tight end, a name.
Yes. Jared Wiley, maybe Jatavion Sanders. I mean, I know they also brought the Eric All kid in too, who was hurt at Iowa. But so those would be three. But I think if you're going in the second round, you'd look at Sanders or Wiley.
I love your guy. I love Cade Stover from Ohio State.
I mean, I like him too. I think there's a little bit of questions about, and I don't know what they think, but I think, you know, I think there's maybe a little questions of how athletic is he, but he did a nice job for them for sure. And I mean, he was a big read. Like, it's funny because you go back to that Georgia game 2 years ago and a lot of talk about Harrison getting hurt on that play and how it cost him. And it absolutely did. They also lost Stover early in the game, too, and I felt like that was a huge loss as well. So, yeah, that kid, he's good. But I just don't, you know, I think the other ones, because they were here, I think I think, and if you're taking one in the second round, I think it'd be one of those guys. Now, Wiley's a guy that, see, here's the other thing, Kevin, you could take the second round pick and maybe package it with a third and move up. And I don't know, I'd have to go back and see the picks that it would take to move up. But maybe if you can keep one of those second round picks, maybe you can trade back a little bit and recoup and still get one of those tight ends that you want. Because Wiley might be there, you know, a little bit later in the second round. 36, 40 might be too high. But, you know, if you wait till 67 in the third round, that might be too low.
Tackle, pass rusher, tight end. And then last one is, do they get a corner? Do they get a corner in the top 100?
Have to.
Yeah.
In the top 100, I think, yeah, I would put it at the back end. Again, based on the top 30 visits and more than anything, and also knowing where you can get, where some of the value is, and where you might have, like, if you want a tight end, you're going to have to get him higher. You want a tackle, you should get him higher. And the pass rusher, I think that'll be an interesting one. But yes, I do think a corner goes in that top 100. You have to.
Do you have a name there?
Elijah Jones was one guy, I think. You know, and there are a couple guys that might go later, but they'd be more project guys. Gaddison's one who would be like a seventh round type, but that's not, we're not talking top 100, but Elijah Jones would be in that mix.
Yeah, from Boston.
And, you know, and, like,
yeah.
And when you're looking at it too, these corners are guys with size, you know, 6'1", 190, whatever. And I think that's indicative of how they want their corners to play.
Great job. I appreciate it as always. And I will talk to you, I'm sure, this week at some point.
My pleasure.
John Keim, everybody. Good to have him on so close to the draft. Always enjoy my conversations with John. Have over a long period of time now. John, remember, has a podcast as well. You can get that wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, you can read John at ESPN.com and follow him on X on Twitter at John_Keim. Tomorrow's show scheduled, Jay Gruden. Cooley, I'm not sure which day this week. We will hopefully get him on this week. He is very busy with high school wrestling recruiting. Yes, he is on the phones dialing for recruits for one of the JUCO wrestling powers in America. All right, back tomorrow.